Thanks for joining The Mountain Life here on KPCW Park City. We have our special Thanksgiving edition. We're joined by Joe Saladega, who's the owner and chef at Savory Kitchen, along with headmistress Kirsten Fox, owner of the Fox, owner and founder, who really has such a fun time with her school. We were talking about the acid in food. I just have one question about that. Somehow along the way, recently, I have discovered that lemon zest is something that I love in so many different foods.
It needs to be in everything.
I know, and it's so different from just lemon. What is that?
That's a good question. Why is it so different? Well, you're the outside of the lemon, first off. You're still getting that acid and that flavor. But as you notice, and probably to your tannin point, if you go too deep with that zest, you're getting into the rind, and then the rind becomes bitter and dries you out and tastes like trash mostly. However, what we'll do a lot of the time with lemon zest, any citrus zest and or citrus, if it's starting to turn because you've got a lot of it in a random kitchen, we'll do a blanch on them and then cook them in simple syrup and make little candied zests and wheels. And then we can use those for garnishes on beverages or salads or even entrees, because sometimes a little sweet is good with those entrees.
What a great idea.
Right?
Yeah. But something like that, using, you know, the citrus zest and...
That big difference between that zest and like the lemon is you've got flavor of the lemon without the kick in the face of the lemon, the acid, the
punch.
Yeah.
The pucker power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bitterness, or not even bitterness, just...
So if we talk about this in terms of wine, what an interesting thing to say, okay, here is some kind of dish that has a lot of lemon zest in it. What are we going to do about the wine?
Well, so we actually do a class often called Tripping on Acid and Tannin.
So. I was going to make that joke before the break.
So both of those, we've already talked about tannin. That's that grippy stuff, you know, that dries your mouth out. But acid gets you salivating. And so, and two components in wine that are so important are acid and tannin. So if you have a high acid food, let's say a salad with vinaigrette dressing, that's going to be pretty darn acidic. And you pair it with a non-acidic wine, let's say a heavily oaked wine, Chardonnay out of California. It's a big, you know, it's got a lot of alcohol, it's got a lot of oak, it's not super acidic. It's going to taste extra flat, or they call it flabby in the industry. When you pair it with a high acid salad, it's just going to taste Debbie Downer kind, right?
I would not have guessed that. I would have thought that that would balance it. So what should we have?
Well, it is so weird. And if you guys ever get a high acid bottle of wine, or even a lemon will do this, but if you double the acid, so if you go to a high acid wine with high acid food, like a vinaigrette dressing on a salad.
And like a blood orange balsamic vinaigrette on my fall salad.
Yes, I'd like that. Yes, talk to me over there, Joe. So if you've got that nice high acid vinaigrette and you pair it with a high acid wine like this Stoller Rosé, or like a Sauvignon Blanc or a Pinot Grigio, say from Italy, it's the weirdest thing, but double the acid, where you've got two acids, they halve the experience of the acid in your mouth. So I don't understand the
two
chemistry
negatives
behind it.
Make a positive.
It's literally that. And so, and we've done this many times where you bite into, say, a lemon. You bite into a lemon and you take a high acid wine in your mouth. And what you then taste in your mouth is a lemon drop, not double the acid of the lemon. It's like candy somehow. It's just crazy. So anyway,
that's really cool.
It's really cool. So, but if you take that flabby wine, it's just going to not do anything for the salad, and it's just going to taste yucky, and it's not going to be a good experience.
See, isn't this amazing? I am learning so much.
Well, good. Let's see if you'll remember it later.
Oh, I will. I will.
Okay, good.
So,
go very much.
Joe, I think we should really do this quarterly, don't you, Lynn?
I think that's a better
going
idea.
Going into
well,
every
there's
season.
There's a holiday every quarter
there really
that we
is.
Could talk about.
There's always something
just
to celebrate.
Seasonal food.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And working with the seasons.
Yeah.
So, Joe, tell us about turkey. Are people still all having turkey for Thanksgiving, or are they branching out?
This year, I've found there's way more branching. We're selling
Is that right?
a lot more. They're getting both turkey, but they're also getting a rib roast.
Oh.
And it caught me off guard. I'm like, man, really? Christmas, this makes sense? Because we use essentially the same menu between Christmas and Thanksgiving, a couple tweaks. However, like, I'm used to that getting ordered all during the Christmas months, but not so much at Thanksgiving. So to your point, yes, they've switched it up a little bit, but they still have the turkey because it's a crowd pleaser.
Nice.
And we tend to make ours pretty traditional. Of course, we brine it. And I know a question every year is, how do you make a brine?
Well, so that along with how do I not burn down my house if I deep fry it in the garage?
It needs to be totally thawed. That's the number one
is that,
mistake.
Oh,
the
I was kind of kidding,
of
but
that
that's amazing.
Is usually frozen a bit. Ice cubes in a fryer will make that hot oil expand and explode to an extent. Then it catches to your flame.
This is really a public service announcement
garage.
Is what
totally.
This is. This is very important.
Yeah. But that's usually the number one mistake. We deep fried a turkey a couple years ago. We did
Was
one of each. They're always good. It's a huge mess. But
it is.
I have a commercial fryer, so I can get away with it. We'll do the brine, and just as a quick one, you know, we do very simple, and I'll give you a fast ratio. So if you're making a gallon plus, you're going to do about a gallon of water, a quart of apple cider I like to use.
Mm.
And if you get a good local apple cider with all the good flavors in there, and then you're going to have some left over because you're going to buy a gallon of it, and you're going to make a spiced cider with
that.
Yeah,
you
are. You're going to serve it with a little bit of that whiskey that I like. And that's a nice little welcome cocktail just in case they don't want the wine. And then you're going to add about a half a cup of sugar and one cup of salt to that ratio. So 1 gallon of water, 1 quart of apple cider, half cup of sugar, 1 cup of salt.
Okay.
And that's going to make you a nice basic brine. You can add herbs to it, bay leaves, garlic, anything you want to do. But this is a nice little basic. So with a bone-in meat, you can use it with any types of meat. But with bone-in, you need to go at least 24 hours. Bone out, you can go 12. I always let it go at least 24. And then I would say, you know, we take it out. We do a compound butter under the skin, which is phenomenal. Compound butter with fresh herbs, a little bit of garlic. And then we just send it off with an InstaRead thermometer, and people get to cook it at their house. And it is brilliant and wonderful, and they have no mess. And all they have to do is pull it out when it hits 165. However, if you want to get a little crazy, I have a couple more ideas for turkey.
Okay,
and
tell
so
us.
We want to get crazy.
You could even go with what I just talked about, and then you could add like a chili espresso rub, and that would be a nice little finish on the outside. You'd do a little salt, pepper, grind up some anchos, some espresso, and some dry herbs. It's not spicy. Like, you don't go 1-to-1 by any means. Just get a feel for it, and lots of salt, pepper. Then you could do a pesto. You could make an arugula pesto or a basil pesto. I'd go arugula because that bitterness would be kind of fun with it. Pairs better with wines. However, I leave nuts out of pesto. We use pepitas or pumpkin seeds, also good for the season, mainly because lots of people have nut allergies and it's just a safe bet. And then another fun one would be like a maple ginger glaze, which you just reduce that maple with some ginger in it, and I would add a little bourbon.
Of course you would.
Yes.
Because how great would that be?
100%. And then you just reduce that nice and down and then brush it on or baste it with it as you're cooking it. And you could do that same one, make it a little more Asian and do like a maple soy, which would be a lot of fun as well. And then you just reduce that maple way down, add a little bit of the soy because it's going to be salty. You don't need much. And then same idea. You could throw in some citrus, some ginger, all wonderful.
Oh, that is making me so hungry. Maple soy. Oh my God. Or miso. Yeah, you get like some yum.
So the glaze is at the end once you've already pulled it out, or can you glaze it and then put it back in?
I would go as I cook. So I'm basting, I might be like, well, I'm going to hit a little bit of the glaze. And then next time you baste, that's in your liquid that's in the pan anyway. And then maybe on the third one, I'm going to add a little more of the glaze and then definitely finish with it as well, because that would be nice.
Oh, that, thank you. Those are great turkey tips.
Right. Just little fun, random things that you wouldn't really
think about, and that you may have in your refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know, really?
And you know
maple
if,
syrup.
If people love it, you know if it's a favorite, so you can integrate that.
100%. Yeah. I did a bacon wrapped one once, and that was pain in the rear, but latticed the bacon on top of it. And it looked beautiful, and it was so wonderful. I won't do it again just because it's a pain. I definitely enjoyed eating it.
I love it.
So I do have a question, and this was a question that started back when I was in high school, and my friend and I bought a turkey because we were living up here working on the Alpine Slide, and it was the cheapest way for us to get food in our mouths because we needed to buy something to eat. And we had this huge, huge fight in the kitchen, in the Racquet Club condo, and we're both 17, and we were arguing over whether you cook it boobs up or boobs down.
Up.
And so then if you're cooking it boobs up, it's going to get dry.
No.
Oh, how do you keep it from, is the brining the?
The brine is the key one. Two.
Do you keep it covered?
I tent it usually halfway through as it's getting, if I feel like it's getting too golden, I'll give it a little tent. But still, it can breathe, and so you're still getting that airflow in there. But the tenting of with tin foil will keep it from getting too brown. The brine is definitely, it's almost hard to overcook it. And that's why we do that when we're sending them out, because we don't work on Christmas or Thanksgiving. We make a point. Nobody's working.
Good.
So we prepare these meals for guests, and they pick them. We pick them. They pick them up, or we drop them off the day before, and they can also enjoy the experience of cooking on Thanksgiving, but not really having the mess or having to do the work. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a nice
little idea. Great solution.
And I will call my friend Tina and tell her that I've heard the ultimate information.
It's always up.
Which way?
It's always up.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, who said boobs up, you or Tina?
I said boobs down.
Oh, okay.
And so she's going to win.
She can be
Sorry.
Right.
But here's the problem with down. You can burn the bottom.
Well, we
it shouldn't, but
we,
you know.
I have no idea, except we just were so hungry it didn't matter because we needed the food. We weren't earning a lot on the Alpine Slide.
That,
I think that's when I was the beer cart girl at the golf course around that same era.
Yeah,
it was good times.
Yeah, good times.
It was. It really was.
Another fun thing to do if you don't have a huge group coming, you could pick up just a turkey breast. Roll it out, flay it out so it's flat. And then I would fill it with dried cranberries, feta, arugula,
or
spinach, caramelized onions. Roll it up, truss it, if anyone knows what that is.
We have the internet, Joe.
I know.
Yes.
Tying it off with butcher's twine, but you could always use skewers to close it.
That's trussing.
Yeah, when you kind of like hold it all together.
Okay. Wow.
Like a girdle for
the
turkey.
See, I'm learning so much
same
here
idea
as well.
And that will most definitely be a smaller amount of food, which is nice because a lot of people are, I don't want a full turkey, 18 pounds. Yeah. So nice little trick. And there's something you got me. Oh, the girdle. So going back to your boobs up or down, when you are... Put your turkey in your pan. You want to tie those legs together, and I usually tie the wings up as well. That way it's all nice and tight so that when it presents after it's cooked, it's going to hold in that nice fashion. I have another trick that I'll do when I carve the turkey. I'll clean it completely off the bones, and I'll lay out the thighs and the legs, and then I'll slice the breasts, and you can present it so it almost looks like a fully done turkey, but it's completely off the bone, makes it really easy for people to come in and get their food.
Wow.
Ooh, that must be beautiful. But only beautiful when Joe does it. If we tried that,
I think you would be fine.
No, there's no way.
Just don't be intimidated.
I would be well into my cups by then. There was no way I would be able to like get that all done for the beauty of it. It would be like,
pace yourself a drinking hour. You should be able to process it.
Speaking of it,
we have a beautiful red wine here.
This is really fun. So, and I've gone back and forth in the shows that we've done over the years, and I've been branching out into other types of wine. But one of the most famous types of wine to go with a Thanksgiving meal. Going with your more traditional treatment of the turkey. But this wine is actually, it's got enough body in it to even go with, you know, a pork or it depending on how the meat is done. It's a relatively heavy Pinot. So this is Russian River Vineyards, and this is their classic cuvée. They take...
What does cuvée mean?
I was going to ask that same question.
You good students. So cuvée is the word for a mix or a blend in wine speak. And so this is a blend of usually four different vineyards that Russian River does as single vineyard wines. And then they taste all their vineyards and they go, oh, these four are going to make our classic cuvée this year, which is basically their signature wine. It's kind of what they aim for every year, and it's one of those types of benchmarks and milestones that they try to keep relatively in the lines. They like to have the same flavor each year. And this is their 2021. It's another Pinot. It's a Pinot Noir, and the Medjkins are relatively new to Park City. This couple has been doing so much support of our nonprofits in town. They have been underwriting wine. They have another brand named after their dog called Chester, and all of their Chester Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, I think they've got a red or two as well of Chester in Utah, and all of their proceeds are then, they have donations to the local animal shelters in the area. So our Nuzzles & Co. gets a large amount of donations from them. But their Russian River Vineyards is their signature wine. When you think of Oregon Pinot Noirs, okay, so when you think of red wines, they are often on a spectrum, in fact, almost always, on a spectrum from, say, let's just start at the lighter red fruits and think of like pomegranate and cranberry, high acid pomegranate cranberry, into maybe red cherry, into red raspberry, into strawberry, into, as you're going along, you're getting darker if you hear the colors. Then you go into, say, dark cherry, and you get into blackberry and black fruits, and then you get into plum, and then you maybe go into prune and that kind of thing. So depending on where the wine is grown, this is a universal spectrum of red wines, and you can take almost any grape, and if it's grown in a cool region, it will have more of the cooler flavors, which are the ones at the beginning of that scale that I told you about. So pomegranate, cranberry, red fruits. And as you get into warmer regions and into hot regions, it's going to move down the scale past red into plum, into blackberries, into black fruits, and then into actual prunes where it's been baked. So this wine, made out of the Russian River Valley, of part of Sonoma County, it tends to actually be in the middle of this red or black fruit spectrum because it's in a little warmer region. It's grown in a warmer region than, say, Willamette Valley Pinot Noirs that tend to be more cranberry, more pomegranate, that kind of thing. That is how you may learn to choose the wines you like if you like those really bold, dark red wines that are really heavy on the dark fruits. You want to look for wines from warmer regions. If you like the more crisp, high acidic, maybe a little lighter, you're going to look for wines from a cooler region in general. That is what we're drinking, and this is that middle of the road Pinot.
Does the blend also make a difference in making it middle of the road? Is that something on their mind when they're picking the from the different vineyards to make their signature? They want it to be middle of the spectrum?
I think that's
spectrum
a good question.
Is a better word than road.
I think that's a great question, and I don't know that specifically, but that makes sense.
Okay.
They're trying to make a signature blend from what they grow. I think they have maybe 11 vineyards that they do single vineyards of, and so this is that one main theme of theirs that's consistent every year, so that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are just about out of time. This has been so much fun. I'm wondering, Chef Joe, if we have missed some of the entrees and things that you could quickly run through.
Oh, I would say, so obviously, everyone likes the same sides. Sides are typically very traditional at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
People want their green beans or their green bean casserole, and they make that with their cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah, right.
Totally not my game.
And the little crispy onions.
We like to do like a miso honey glazed carrot. So to your glazed carrot traditional, but throw in a little twist on it. We'll also do a pomegranate cranberry orange preserve. So it's like it is a cranberry sauce, but whole berries kind of mashed, not so much like a jelly. We do these savory waffles on different events, and we'll do like a wild mushroom or this or that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what about for Thanksgiving and a sweet potato waffle?
Oh, that sounds so good.
The cool thing about sweet potato or a waffle, like a savory waffle, is you make that the night before and you just shovel that through your oven to heat it up. And you've got all that prepped on the day before. So it's easy. And you could add a little maple or bourbon. I like that.
Bacon would be so nice with that.
And cheese, add cheese to it. Yeah. And yeah, that's a wonderful little trick. We didn't talk about dessert. I think
just to get our creativity going.
Maple cheesecake.
Always.
Yep. Of course, your pumpkins, pecans, and apple pies. But this year, my executive chef was like, I really want to do a gingerbread pudding.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so we're doing gingerbread pudding, and that is with a cinnamon ice cream and caramel applesauce.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yum.
And it's really, you could make that yourself. It's really simple and not a problem. Wow. The ice cream, on the other hand, that might be tough for you.
That one's tough, but you can get that at the store, kind of.
Or from us.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Correct.
There you go. Quickly, what is your menu that you do? You've talked a little bit about how you can pick it up there or you can have it delivered.
Oh, yeah. So
how do we go about it?
So essentially, the turkey is a straight price. We just sell the turkey dressed, ready to go with an InstaRead thermometer. And then you get to choose six sides from everything from Brussels sprouts to stuffed squash. Then you get to get a dessert if you want for an additional charge. And you could always add on a soup or salad if you want either of those. So just contact us at info@savoryparkcity.com.
Excellent.
That sounds like the simplest way to do it.
I think it really does.
Thing is, by the time your turkey comes out of the oven, we give you a timeline to shuffle your sides through your oven, and then everything's done, and you can serve it on your own platters.
You give them a timeline.
That's what I need more than anything. That's fantastic.
Those get your teenagers to make a playlist, and you are golden.
And if your playlist lines up with the timeline,
that's
when the
song
changes, you're good to go. And everything comes in foil, that gets rinsed out, thrown in your recycling bin. You're good to go, and it's semi-green.
That sounds so nice.
Oh, that sounds so fun. This has been fun. Kirsten, remind us of the second wine again,
yes,
the Russian
delicious.
River Cuvée.
Russian River Vineyards. This is their classic cuvée. Right now, 2021 on the shelves. And this is about $35 a bottle, so it's not ridiculous. And it's really, it's a people pleaser. And it goes with almost everything on the table as well. It's got nice acidity, and it's really a good general wine for so many different foods.
Mm. So if you're a guest, it would be a great
wine
to bring.
Yes, it would.
It reminds me a little of the Meiomi Pinot Noir. It's a little got a little more mouth body to it, which I love because like sometimes Pinot Noirs feel a little bit
watery.
A little watery to me.
I
mean, and I think maybe I like the wrong kind. Maybe, but I think it's delicious.
I think you like the Russian River Valley.
Yeah. Maybe that's
like
it.
Warmer,
you need a
warmer.
Little. So I'm
yeah. Now
same.
I'm
going to
look
this
for these
great.
Warm territories. See, we learned so much.
Yeah. Oh.
I feel like Lynn Rosetta Casper right now.
Francis Lamb. I feel
I know it's Francis Lamb now, but Lynn is, you know, she, my other Lynn. Yes.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, Kirsten Fox, Joe Saladega, Mary Beth Maziarz,
Lynn Ware Peak.
A happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you to all of our listeners for supporting The Mountain Life and KPCW as a part of your community radio. We love you all. Thank you.